the background is was a horrible murder in Melbourne of a young comedian female, Eurydice Dixon, raped and murdered. And then Victorian police superintendents very sensibly spoke out and said that people need to take precautions for their own safety. I'm sure 95% of people listening would have thought that's a perfectly reasonable thing for a police superintendent to comment on. But, of course, they all came out in force, didn't they, David? We saw the Daniel Andrews, Premier of Victoria, coming out and saying, oh, women don't need to change their behaviour, men do. And they all hopped on board, the usual commentators. Do you want to just give us a bit of your overview of what that was all about?
Yes, there was, I think even the Prime Minister, men have to look to their culture, or words to that effect, I think he said, as if there's some kind of collective responsibility, as if men have some shared responsibility for what happened to Eurydice Dixon. And, of course, the person responsible for what happened to her is in jail. Everybody else is innocent. And yet there's this attitude that all men are responsible.
Yep.
The funny thing is, if she had been murdered and raped by a black person, and the comments had been, black people have to be change their culture, you know, black people have to everyone would, those same people who are telling men that they have some responsibility, those people would be telling us, you're racist, you know, what you're saying is outrageous. The same would go if it was a Muslim who was the perpetrator. And the comments were being made about Muslims. They've got to review the way they approach women, for example. There would be accusations then of Islamophobia. So, you know, certainly from the Liberal Democrats' point of view, that we are individually responsible for what we do. We are not collectively responsible. The socialists, the lefties, the collectivists, they're the ones who go with this idea that, you know, you're not really an individual, you're part of a group. This is where identity politics comes in, of course. So you can only be viewed through the prism of whether you're male or whether you're white or black or brown, or whether you are gay or straight, or even that's too simple for most of them these days. And I objected to that. Then a motion, if I just go on to the circumstances that led to the dispute with Sarah Hanson-Young.
Could I just say, David, just one thing. She, of course, Sarah Hanson-Young, who's a Greens senator, has been speaking out about this issue, and she made a particularly offensive statement saying that women are sick of being made responsible for the fact that men can't control themselves. It's not women's fault that men behave like morons and like pigs. So she'd made it very clear that she is blaming all men for this tragic murder and rape. And she was right out there demonising men for the behaviour of this particular individual. So you go on about what happened then. Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite right. She was out there, as you said, demonising men. Fraser Anning actually presented a motion in the Senate on the last sitting day, a week before last, calling on the government to allow women to use possess and use means of self-defence, non-lethal means of self-defence, such as tasers and pepper sprays. In the course of that, Janet Rice, another Green senator, stood up and made a statement, which was essentially a statement about men having collective responsibility. During that, Sarah called out, Darren Hinch says, women wouldn't need pepper spray if men would stop raping them. I heard it as effectively saying all men are rapists, and I couldn't remember the precise words. Anyway, I called, she sits quite close to me in the chamber, so I was in my chair, she was in her chair, and I called her, well, stop shagging men then, Sarah. And so the vote was held. only
can
five.
Can I just say, David, I mean, I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say. You know, if she's saying all men are rapists, why would anyone want to go near a man? Why would any man, woman ever want to have sex with him? You know, she's a divorced, a single woman. Surely there's nothing wrong with saying, asking questions about the decisions she makes about going near men if she's so convinced that they're all dangerous and rapists. So I didn't see anything really wrong with what you said at that point. Now, tell us what happened then, David.
Yeah, well, it's a moot point whether a shagging would be regarded as unparliamentary anyway. It's possible that it might be or it might not be. It would be unclear. But anyway, after the vote was taken, and unfortunately only five people voted in favour of the motion, which is that's pretty sad by itself, Sarah came around to my desk. In the Senate chamber. She's not very far away. Stop shagging men. And I said yes. She called me a creep and I told her to F off. Now, F off, calling me a creep is definitely unparliamentary, and calling me and for me to tell her to F off is unparliamentary as well. But she was a metre away from me at that point. And no one else really heard that. So private conversations are not recorded in Hansard. There's really no issue there about whatever we say to each other at a one-on-one level. Then after question time, later in the day, she stood up and made a statement to the Senate in which she recounted all this exchange. So that made it a public issue. And it sort of took off from there. So, I mean, we say things to each other in the chamber, sometimes mostly nice and occasionally not so nice, and they never go any further. But it was her choice to make an issue of it by standing and making a statement in the chamber that set off the subsequent media storm.
This is very much what Sarah Hanson-Young is doing in, you know, playing to this particular gallery, playing to the feminists, arguing that that was a really sexist comment you made and really offensive. And it is just extraordinary how the media has lined up to condemn you.
Yes, it is. It is quite extraordinary how the media has turned into an attempted lynch mob. And I have to say that if it wasn't for the fact that I'm from the Liberal Democrats, my party doesn't feel embarrassed about this sort of thing. We are essentially immune to the lynch mob. I probably would have been in difficulty. But as it stands, I'm essentially untouchable. I don't have to apologise. I've got nothing to apologise for. What I said was perfectly legitimate. And it was unparliamentary. I concede that, but it wasn't recorded in Hansard. So that's really neither here nor there. And, what I said
to her. Of course, she could have asked for it to be the comment to be retracted, couldn't she? And then it would have been in Hansard. And she chose not to, because she chose to play this as a political manoeuvre, hasn't she?
Yeah, well, it's this apologise thing that really has become quite fashionable these days. Everyone has to apologise, as if that makes a difference. You know, I'm not in a position where I can be harmed, really. I'm able to remain true to the values of the Liberal Democrats, to myself, and say, well, I'm not going to apologise. If I did apologise, it would be insincere. It would be conceding that she was right, and she is profoundly wrong. I am not the sexist here. Telling somebody to F off in exchange for being called a creep doesn't make me a sexist. If a bloke had said to me, you're a creep, I would have said F off. I mean, that's... Yeah. You know, I am not
sexist. I agree with you. I mean, where I do think you pushed the envelope was when you went on with my friends Rowan Dean and Ross Cameron on Sky's Outsiders program, and you made a comment about Sarah Hanson-Young as being well known for liking men, and rumours about her in Parliament are well known. So the implication being that she actually likes men and may have, you know, it was an implication about her sex life. And that's where led to a whole range of allegations that that's slut shaming. I just say, I mean, I think that's really interesting in lots of ways, because the lynch mob is so hypocritical about these things. I mean, they were happy to speculate endlessly about Peter Credlin's alleged affair with Tony Abbott. They line up to pontificate about the National Party leader, you know, Barnaby Joyce's pregnant mistress, and they never talk about the fact that Chloe Shorten, the wife of the opposition leader Bill Shorten, that those two met having an affair. She got pregnant. They were both married to other people, and she had children, and two marriages broke up as a result. When do we ever hear that discussed by this group that is condemning you, or that Julia Gillard had an affair with another Labour MP, Craig Emerson, who was also married with kids at the time, and the marriage broke up as a result? I mean, it's just really interesting to me. It's not even a double standard of women being treated differently from men, but it's also a triple standard, because if you're a right-wing woman, you get condemned for things that would never be commented on if you were a left-wing woman. So anyway, having said all that, I think, unfortunately, those comments about her personal life made you the target. And I was disappointed about that, because I think your main argument is really important. And, you know, I don't know that we gain. Anyway, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think you've perhaps looked quickly at what I said on outsiders and perhaps jumped to the wrong conclusion as well. Yeah. We now have a transcript of what I said there, so we have it word for word, and I can in fact read it out to you if you would like. I don't see how I have said anything that would suggest, other than that she is heterosexual and has relationships with at least one man. And the point I was making is very clear. If you think, and we were talking about before, if you think all men are the enemy, what are you doing sleeping with them? And I don't think there's anything I said that infers how often she sleeps with men, whether she sleeps with more than one man. In fact, I made it plain I wasn't in the least bit casting aspersions on that aspect of her life. I was pointing out the double standards that, on the one hand, she's saying men are all rapists, or inferring that all men are rapists. On the other hand, she is having a normal heterosexual life as a approaching middle age.
Take that point. Yeah. Sorry, David. Go on.
In fact, We have to go over my words, because they are central to the argument that she is making in her defamation suit against me, that my words can carry the imputation that she's she uses the word in her concerns notice, slut shaming. There is nothing in anything that I've said in my various interviews about this issue that I think support that conclusion. The conclusion which I said I was making, that yes, she's a heterosexual woman who has relationships with men. That's it. Not how many, not how often, none of that. I've never not gone near that. I'm calling out the double standards, the hypocrisy involved. If you think all men are collectively responsible for raping women, then what do you think you're doing engaging in that? That's a very interesting point.
Very interesting point, of course, to suggest that she likes men and maybe likes sex with men, which is implied there. That's slut shaming. I mean, where are we in our society if to suggest that is an insult? What's happened to the sexual revolution, I say, you know? It's part of this whole repressive attitude towards sexuality, which is interestingly tied up in all of this. And as part of the feminist debate, you know, to shame men and for suggesting that women are interested in sex. It'll be a really fascinating legal case, of course, if she has to, you have to speak to question the truth about this supposed implication by asking her about her sexual relationships. I mean, I can't imagine she'd really want to go there.
No, I've been wondering about that myself. Why would you want to go there? If the situation was reversed, and those comments had been made about me, I wouldn't be opening up that Pandora's box.
All right. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how that progresses. But I suppose I want to make it clear in defence of you, David, is that your initial position was totally consistent, that you have been for many years working to call out misandry, calling out the male bashing that's going on, and you've been working really hard to draw attention to that, in particular in relation to domestic violence. And I want to commend you on the work you've done in Senate estimates, asking questions of the bureaucrats about the misleading arguments they are making to justify this male bashing campaign they're running around domestic violence. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, as you and I have previously discussed, the whole government campaign, we're talking taxpayers' money here, is committed to this respect notion that the underlying cause of domestic violence is the lack of respect by men for women. Now, the evidence for that is very, very poor. We've asked the bureaucrats what their evidence for that is. It's very contradictory. They're very selective about what they quote, very selective about what they rely on. The World Health Organization doesn't support them, for example. And, of course, there's this implication in all of this that the only victims of domestic violence are women, that the only perpetrators of domestic violence are men. And that defies logic too, because we know that females inflict domestic violence on men, not as often as vice versa, but they certainly do it to quite a significant extent. And, of course, in same-sex relationships, there's ample reports of domestic violence as well. There's also very strong suspicions that reports of domestic violence against men are underreported due to this perception that it's all about men beating up females. So I've been challenging this in Parliament, in estimates, and also in question time, and, you know, trying to pick the scab off it, if you like. I think it's a nasty little situation that we shouldn't allow taxpayers' money to be spent on it. If it's you know, it's enough if there are private sector organisations or charitable organisations that want to perpetuate these myths. Well, you know, my free speech nerve would kick in and say, well, they're allowed to tell these things, even if they're false. But for my taxes to be spent on these sorts of issues offends me greatly, and so I'd like to see it stop. I'd like to see domestic violence treated for what it is. It's about individuals, men and women, with a bad attitude either to the opposite sex or at least to their individual partners. If it's treated like that, then we may even have a chance of doing something about it and reducing it. But absolutely nothing is happening positively about domestic violence as a result of this respect concept.
How much support do you have in Parliament?
Not very much, Bettina, it must be said. It's an embarrassing subject to a lot of people. They don't like to talk about it. Amongst the feminist types, there's the attitude that I must be some kind of weird misogynist to be arguing the other side around. There's the embarrassment by men, even if they know about domestic violence against men. You know, there's this concept, well, they should have stood up for themselves, or perhaps they brought it on themselves or something like that. There are all kinds of, you know, explanations for it. And a lot of people just say, I don't want to go there. I just don't want to know about it.
Well, I suppose I just don't get why they think it's political and it wins them votes to constantly denigrate men. I mean, where's that coming from?
Yes, I don't know. I haven't got a really good explanation for that. It's amongst men, of course, there's considerable resentment. And when I have private conversations with men about it, you know, they're very inclined to agree with me. It's certainly... not all of them, of course, but there is a fair level of agreement. And often the comment they say to me is, look, I don't know why you bother. The best thing is just to shut up. And, you know, they're basically beaten into submission. I've had even over this Sarah Hanson-Young issue, I've had this massive influx of messages, phone calls, emails, messages on Facebook and various other places. The only exception really is Twitter, which is an absolute sewer, where everywhere except on Twitter, it would have been 90% in favour. The men are saying, thank God someone is finally saying something, pushing back against this outrageous misandry. And also quite a large number of women are saying, thank goodness someone is saying this. You know, they know men, they love men, they have sons and husbands and fathers, of course. They know jolly well that they don't do, you know, aren't guilty of these crimes. And they're saying, what the hell are you bagging men for? You know, the men that in my life, I love them. And so I'm getting massive amounts of support over this issue.
Yeah. I imagine you'll come out on top through this issue. And that's, I get lots of correspondence, of course, from women as well as men. There's huge disquiet in our community about the way these issues are playing out publicly. And this is just the latest example of that. Anyway, David, I think we better stop. Thank you for all your valuable time. And I'll look forward. You've arranged for me to come and talk to a forum in Parliament, which I'm very excited about, later this year. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, well, we'll be working on it together, Bettina, and I expect the subject of misandry will be top of the priority.
Yeah.
We'll be defending men from collective attack.
Very good. And in Australian Parliament, that's exactly where we should see this happen.
Indeed.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.